Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 11th. Improving roads, easing traffic congestion, and making broadband available to all parts of Colorado are some of Governor John Hickenlooper's top priorities for the upcoming legislative session that begins today. Benta Berkland has more.
Hickenlooper will again deal with a split legislature with Republicans in control of the Senate and Democrats the House. But he believes this is the year that lawmakers in both parties will come together and reach a compromise on how to pay for transportation.
Every year that goes by, not only does the congestion get worse, but the cost of solving, building the infrastructure goes up. In other words, we're falling further behind.
The governor has also pledged to stand strong on the environmental regulations he's backed and the state's health care exchange. He says if Congress makes changes that he feels create problems in Colorado, he will raise his voice loudly. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
From the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, the latest in the Connecting the Drops series takes a look at the annual fish count on the Big Thompson River and recovery efforts after 2013's devastating floods.
Benjamin Swiggle is an aquatic biologist with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. He's giving some last-minute safety reminders to his team, which is about to start the annual fish count on the Big Thompson.
Use your net to lift it up and over any obstruction.
That old adage of not mixing water and electricity doesn't apply here. The fish counters walk through the water with electrodes that emit a small charge. Not enough to kill the fish, just enough to stun them so they can be scooped up for the fish count.
Two more.
What we're indirectly measuring through the trout is how much bug life is going on, whether or not there's enough food for the trout in here, and the availability of gravel, clean gravel for reproduction.
Every fall, biologists count the fish to get an overall view of the river's health. A healthy river means a lot of healthy fish, trout in this case, rainbow and brown. And a healthy fish population means a healthy local economy with jobs dependent on the fishing and recreation industry. Jack DeLuce knows all about that. He's been a fishing guide in Estes Park for 4 years.
Well, we get an awful lot of people. We'll probably end up with 600 people at a fish with us this year. So people come to Estes Park for a lot of reasons, and fishing's one of them.
An estimated 50,000 anglers descend on this area annually, spending an average of $103 each on everything from fishing guides and equipment to lodging and food. On this fall morning, Jeff and Elizabeth Anderson from Austin, Texas, are enjoying a day's angling on the Big Thompson.
Yeah, we're here for many things. One of them just so happened to be fishing. So we saw it was available here in beautiful creeks, so that's why we're doing it.
About $4 million a year flow into local coffers as a result of this river. As so much tourism depends on the fish, the results of the annual fish count are closely watched.
Good work. I'm thinking 85%.
The biologists conduct the count at two separate sites. This area is in good shape. There are shallow spots where the fish like to spawn and rock pools for winter habitat. Further downstream, it's a different story. Immediately after the 2013 flood, the fish population there was zero. It slowly recovered, but a concrete spill into the water earlier this year during road repairs set the recovery back. Permanent repairs have now begun on parts of the river and adjoining highway that were most damaged by the floods. But Swiggle says the repairs will also tackle problems dating back 40 years.
We've been educated from two floods, 1976 and 2013, and in both cases the flood won and the river lost. And now we're building a road that is resilient in the face of flooding, so when this happens again, and it will, we won't have to spend $500 million to repair the road.
The repairs will raise the adjoining road and create a wider floodplain, and that will help this river cope with future floods.
Rainbow 352. 330.
After collecting the fish, the task of counting, weighing, and measuring them begins.
11, 254.
Keep an eye out for tags.
Okay. The number of fish in this stretch amounts to almost 4,000 per mile, indicating a healthy section of the river. Further downstream, as predicted, the fish count is much lower, in the low hundreds of fish per mile. But Swiggle says he's hopeful that those numbers will improve in the future.
because ultimately we'd like to see the number of trout that we find here downstream in the same abundance.
Repairs on that lower stretch started in October and will likely continue through June 2017. It's a multi-million dollar project, but it will be money well spent for the local economy if it means more river to fish in and recreate on. For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org. Support for this piece is provided by CoBank.
Health and environmental groups are speaking out about what they say are efforts by Congress to gut important public safeguards. Eric Galatis has this report.
Health and environmental groups are speaking out about what they say are efforts by Congress behind closed doors to gut important public safeguards. The Midnight Rule Relief Act, which passed the House last week, could eliminate any rule finalized in the last several months of the Obama administration with a single vote. And the RAINS Act would require any new regulations be approved by the House of Representatives in order to take effect. Former EPA Administrator Carol Browner says the goal is to repeal hundreds of existing protections, including parts of the Clean Air Act.
They're doing it in a way that's hard to follow. It's hard for the public to really see what's happening. And I think that's intentional because people like clean air and clean water. They don't want those safeguards rolled back, even if Congress wants them rolled back.
Supporters argue the legislation would make it easier to dispense with regulations that some lawmakers believe are unnecessary, improving accountability and transparency. However, Browner says the bills would affect critical public health laws that reduce carbon pollution from vehicles, oil and gas infrastructure, power plants, and other sources. Don Mullally with the American Lung Association in Colorado points to national data that found in 2011 alone, the Clean Air Act prevented 160,000 premature deaths, 86,000 hospital admissions, 13 million lost workdays, and more than 3 million lost school days. She says children and seniors are at the greatest risk for asthma and other respiratory problems during the state's bad air days.
In Colorado, we have about 1.25 million kids, and we also have a little bit more than 500,000 adults older than 65. And should any kind of regulations get even weaker, then those problems are going to increase.
Browner is also concerned about the nomination of Scott Pruitt to head the EPA, given his past attempts to overturn climate regulations. But she's hopeful he'll continue the work of past agency administrators if confirmed.
We all believed in the mission of the agency. We believed it was our job to protect the health of the American people. And I certainly hope Mr. Pruitt will find it within himself to share that.
Pruitt's confirmation hearing before the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee has not yet been scheduled. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.